deep in your love.
Welcome back behind the scenes. This week, I got to catch up with an old friend of mine. Dozy and I went to high school together, and as long as I've known him, he has been creating music. With now over 5,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, Dozy is that much closer to achieving his dream. In this conversation with Dozy, I explore what inspires his songwriting, how he balances working a 9-to-5 while also creating music, how he overcomes the difficulties of the music industry, and what it's like to get back on stage at live events. I loved getting to know more about Dozy's music and the process about what happens behind the scenes. I hope you all enjoy. Let's get into it.
So yeah, you say you're working like a 9-to-5 at IBM. How does that work with you creating music? Like, how do you find the time and the balance for both?
Schedule's kind of crazy. Like, probably shouldn't be saying this, but like, even like at work, like during my lunch break, I'm probably working on music at the same time as I'm doing my work. But like, I guess one of the good things about like being computer science and stuff like that is like, you kind of build your own time and your own schedule, and like coding and stuff like that is just something you work on throughout the day. It's not like you got to get done stuff like right away. But like, as long as you get it done at some point, it's kind of good that way. But because of that, like I could just make music after work and stuff like that. And like just having a job and like salary and stuff like that helps pay for like all the shit that we do, all the music that we make, videos and stuff like that too. And like marketing, that's been like really huge lately. Yeah, like I think my job is really the reason that I've been taking it so seriously as of recent, because we just have the funding to do like bigger stuff, and like that's kind of where we're headed. Yeah,
you have way more resources, I guess, and a schedule too, I guess you
can
make it work that way. So you talk about your team. How many people like work with you to put music together?
There's one guy right away, like that's Kayvon. He's like it's my buddy, and he's like a manager also. He manages another guy named Versus, but he's like the main guy on the team right now. Everyone, like all of my friends, are kind of just part of the team. It doesn't really like, they don't really have defined roles or anything like that, but like if we need people to like come out for a video and stuff like that, my friends are the first ones to come out. When it comes to shows, they're my marketers at the same time. They're the ones sharing on Instagram stories, telling people to buy tickets and stuff like that. It's kind of like a little family affair, honestly. And like my parents, honestly, are huge, which is crazy.
That's awesome.
They're like huge. I don't know how, but they just happen to know like all these people from like at least Nigerian folks who are like pretty big from like way back in the day. And they're like huge now on like social media and stuff like that. And they're like the ones getting my parents are like the ones getting them to like post me on random pages like that. So my parents have been hella supportive with the whole thing too.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Having the support from your parents probably makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. Honestly.
Let's just go back a little bit to like how you got into music.
The baby story. I went to boarding school in grade 7 after being in Canada for a couple of years. Boarding school in Nigeria. I just kind of missed my friends, so I wanted to go back for a little bit. And there's this girl that I was trying to impress, which is outrageous, because what am I thinking about in grade 7? I have no business thinking like that, you know what I'm saying? But so pretty much she's just like her favorite song at the time is Justin Bieber's Baby, and I didn't know who Justin Bieber was until I came back, until like I'd already been here. And then since Baby came out, I heard the Ludacris verse, and I was like, yeah, this is how I'm a talk to her. So I learned the whole song and stuff like that. And then we were just like hanging out one day, and I was just spewing all this rubbish and like singing the song to her. I was like, okay, we might have a future in this. It didn't sound too bad either. So when I moved back to Canada, I just started getting the talent show phase. I didn't know how to make my own song. And every time I tried, it just sounded like a nursery rhyme. And grade seven, eight, Chris Brown, Nicki Minaj songs, grade 9, a little collab with my friend Jeffrey. And then, from like grade 10, it kind of picked up, like one of the songs kind of caught fire, and people in high school, like no one really knew I made music until like it was just an accident, got found out. And then people kind of just gravitated towards it. And like, people would be like, yeah, this is really good. Yeah. I think I heard it during an announcement, like when I was in grade 12, and I was like, okay, yeah, we have a chance. We might be famous one day. So let's keep going. And that was how it kind of came up to be.
And what was your, sorry, I have the worst memory ever, but what was your first song that you ever put out?
Jesus, I think it was Rock to the Beat. It was like a remix of Flo Rida, Whistle. Yeah. That was like the first one, I think. Yeah. God. Yeah, it's still out on SoundCloud and stuff like that. And if you listen to it, it's, I don't even sound the same at all. Like, I can't believe it's me still. But yeah.
Well, yeah, you really sound like your sound more now.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I don't think I've found it yet. I'm close, but yeah, it sounds better than it did before. So I'm not complaining.
And then, so you were like, we come out of high school, you get into university, and are you building, like, creating more music out at DAL? What did that look like?
At this point, like, I was already stressed out about going to university, and like, I never lived alone. Like, oof, that was interesting for sure. But when I got there, I don't remember what happened, but I released a song called Best Friend at the end of grade 12, and like in the summer of grade 12, I think it was. And then I think second semester, first year, I get on a flight back to go to Halifax. And when I get off the flight, I'm like, yo, something's wrong. Cause I can see my stats for like my songs on my phone every day. Like, I just check a website and then I can see everything that's coming from Spotify, Apple, everything like that. And then the song went up like 20,000 streams, like, over the flight. I was like, what the hell is happening? So I kind of realized that Spotify kind of picked up the song right away. Like, they put me on, I don't know what kind of playlist it was or whatever like that, but they picked me up on like one of their like official playlists, and then the song kind of blew up. So like over the next like week and a half or something like that, I went from like 100 monthly listeners to like 50,000-60,000. I was like, whoa. And like, I wasn't even taking music serious at this point. I just put the song out because I was like bored that summer. Next thing you know, I'm just like, whoa, okay. Yeah. And then at DAL, I was kind of trying to balance like school, meeting people, making music at the same time. There wasn't too much focus on like, I wasn't too focused on the music part then. I kind of just wanted to live life at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's so crazy. How does it work? Because you say your music's on SoundCloud. How does Spotify pick it up from there? Like, what resources you use to release?
Best Friend, I think, Carried Away. Yeah, Best Friend was the second song I'd ever put out on, like, Spotify and Apple and stuff like that. So, like, I had to go, like, I got a publishing, like, whatever. And I started uploading everything to my computer. And that was the first one that really popped. So that's when, like, shit kind of got crazy. And I was like, okay, I think I have to make more music, so... I took like a year and a half off before I dropped anything again, but yeah, we came back.
And then you build up a team, right? So you obviously don't do all this by yourself because that's a lot of work, but who is on your team? Like, do you release the music yourself? Like, do you produce it all and everything?
Kind of the process. I've got like my own mic and stuff like that. And like certain songs, if I don't want to go through crazy production like levels, I will do it myself at home, and it comes out like from my side. Beats and stuff like that, kind of weird, but like I've worked with a lot of producers, but most of the hit songs have come from just YouTube. I just kind of YouTube beats and I just pull it down, pay for it, and then kind of crank it out from there. My manager is huge. His name's Kayvon. He manages another guy named Versus, and like we're kind of all under this group that we're trying to build out in Calgary. My friends, huge marketers. Everything, like anytime I post anything on social media, they're the ones resharing it and stuff like that. So like my reach is like, thanks, like a lot, has a lot to do with them and like everything they've done, like is just sharing my music and stuff like that, coming out to videos, streaming the music and everything like that. And that's huge. My parents too, major supporters. I think my mom, every time I come up from in the morning, my mom's like playing my music from her speaker. She's like getting ready for the day. I'm like, yeah, okay, this is kind of nice. So like my parents are huge supporters, and my dad, this guy, every time someone comes over, switches to YouTube, he starts playing the music video for all his friends who are coming over and stuff like that. I'm like, okay. It's a little bit embarrassing, but at the same time, it's love. Like I love it. Everyone, like,
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, they've been really supportive. Everyone's like, everyone close to me has been very supportive when it comes to music and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the community, I see it on Instagram too. Like, the amount of shares that people have of your like just recent things that you've done and performances. It's everywhere, which is awesome. Like that's such a big part of music, right? Is just being heard and getting yourself out there, and
yeah,
especially on social media, which is awesome.
Very huge, honestly. Yeah.
I want to know what your like creative process looks like. Like what inspires your songs and like all of that.
I haven't thought. I guess like when I was younger, like it was just music and stuff like that, and like it was just listening to other people trying to recreate that. But, like I didn't care about what I sounded like if it was my own sound. I would just like take sounds like one person that I've always been compared to is J. Cole, and funny enough, we were born on the same day. But every time,
oh, wow,
yeah. So like everyone like said that we sounded the same. So I was like, okay, let me just try and like rebuild what he makes at least. Until like I started finding my own lane. So after a couple songs, I kind of found my own track and stuff like that, and like my own lane. So whatever comes to music right now is kind of just based on my life and stuff like that. First, you got the problems, like you're talking to a girl. That's a song right there. You're trying to like stuff about like stuff that's going on in the world and stuff like that. Like one of the songs we have is called War, and it's just like me trying to like find myself and be like, yeah, you gotta like tune yourself out from everything else and stuff like that. It's honestly my life, honestly. And
yeah,
it's my life with a whole bunch of hidden different messages. Like people will never really understand what half of it means to be, but like I made sure so it comes out in a sense where it could make sense to them. Yeah.
Right. So that you recently just came out with an album, and does it like, so I don't know if it's particular for your album, but a lot of the ways that people release an album, like the way the story, is there a story to each song and the order of it?
No, honestly, we weren't supposed to release that project at all. Like we had no, like,
oh really?
We said it at the beginning of the year, like, no, we aren't going to do any projects, anything like that. And we just had so much music. Like we had too much music to not do something. And we decided like, if we're going to do this, then we're going to do it with a show behind it. And that was kind of the process. It's called My World. Cause like, I've been kind of like in between places where I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to do more Afro beats, more hip hop. I have no idea where I'm going to be at. So like this album, like kind of encompass like every sound that like I've always made, like anything that I've ever made. And like it kind of covers sound, so it goes the Afrobeat route, it goes the R&B route, the hip hop route, and My World kind of just touches on every single part of like the country where I feel like I've done something related to music. So yeah, the album was not supposed to come out. Yeah, we just had too much music. Like we probably have like 500 songs that will never see the light of day. But yeah,
it's not a terrible problem to have. Better to have too much than not enough, right?
Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, that's true. I think the only reason we haven't put out a lot of it is because like, there's a big fear about like putting out music and doing so well the first time and then you miss. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Yeah, so like I put out AC Milan that hit. The next one didn't hit as well. So I was like, oh God, no, am I losing my touch? A couple months later, we got Safa. That hit. Next one, like not as well. You know what I'm saying? It's trial and error, honestly. That's what music is, to be honest.
And how do you deal with that? Like, how do you overcome it being like, oh, this song wasn't a hit. Like, what's next? Do you ever have like a slump in your music or what is that?
Yeah. Like I've always been someone who's always been in my own head about this kind of stuff. Like my friends have like every single unreleased demo and stuff like that. And they're sending me messages be like, you need to put this out. You need to put this out. But I just... yeah, I've always been in my own head about that stuff. Like, I've always said to myself, like, if I'm going to do music, I want to be great. Like, I want to be one of the best to ever do it. I want to be as big as Drake, Kanye, and all stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, you got to fail at some point. And that's one of the kind of things, like, I've been learning. I got to fail forward. So if I fail on a song or something like that, I got to fail forward. Just take that, put it in mind, put it in the back of your mind, and move on to the next one. And honestly, like, with my whole point is that, like, if I can put out a song, it may not go, like, stream like crazy numbers, it may not like catch too many people's ear, but I know that my core fan base would have listened to it, they would have saved it, and like I can determine from there like if it was successful enough. So I'm not selling it to the world, I'm selling it to the people that I've worked like who listen to my music now.
Hey, just popping in here real quick to say that if you enjoy this episode, Follow and subscribe wherever you stream your podcasts, and follow us on Behind the Scene Pod at Instagram and look for us on LinkedIn. Let's get back to the conversation with Dozy.
And then I've been seeing that you've been doing a lot of like live music stuff in Calgary. Mm-hmm. How's that going? It's like, because that was on hold for a long time. Like,
yeah,
people weren't able to do that. Now that you can do that again, how does it feel?
Yeah, honestly, like, it's pretty insane. Like, I'm still kind of shocked by it. Like, the first time we ever did the show was like 2 years ago, 2019, Boxing Day, I think it was. And we did the show. That was my first time ever, like, headlining my own show. I put the whole show together with like another, like a group of people. And that was hectic. And I was even more nervous because I'd never performed in front of anybody in Calgary except for RIT, which is also a mess. But
right.
Yeah. But like at that point, like I had a solid body of work. I knew people knew some songs. So I was like, all right, I got to do this at some point. That show went okay. Then we did it again. And my biggest fear with this one is because it was a long weekend. It's a Sunday. You don't expect people to ever come out on a Sunday or anything like that. And like, aside from the fact that it's a long weekend, it's still pretty tough. Like, to expect people to come out and like come like party on a Sunday and like come to a concert. But I get there the day of, I'm like, I'm so stressed out that I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go run the door. I'm going to do the tickets and stuff like that. 500 people upstairs, 200 people downstairs. Like we had too many people. So we had to open the downstairs floor and just kind of push everyone there until the night was over. And then we kind of put everyone together. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was very interesting for sure. Like I miss performing and stuff like that. So now the goal is we're taking this show to Halifax September, and then probably a smaller show in Toronto in October. Yeah. So I guess we're going on tour.
That's so cool.
Yeah. That's it.
So you're going on a little mini Canada tour.
Yeah. Mini Canada tour. Yeah. There's one I want to add, but like I don't know if I could pull it off yet. We're trying to do Houston because I got a like big family, like Nigerian fan base out there, and that's why I kind of love like Spotify and stuff.
Oh, cool!
Like, yeah, like Spotify lets you track like everywhere where you are, like your fans are listening from. So Houston is like one of the big markets right now for me. So
yeah,
go there. Yeah.
Very cool. And how does it work putting together a show like? Do you put together the whole set list? What, or like, do you have a team that helps you out?
Yeah. Well, like this last show, there was a guy, there's a guy named Jay Spence. He helped me put it together. And like, this is my first time kind of running the event even. Like, so we just kind of like listened to everybody in Calgary, picked a whole bunch of artists who I know, like haven't had like the limelight that they needed to have. Like, and these guys are amazing, but they just haven't hit like in the craziest sense. Like there's Serenade, Kill Kwan, all these guys like that. And all these people came out and it was like the perfect combination. This was definitely the best show by far. There's also the stress of getting the venue. The venue was way too small. We need to get bigger next time, but we live and we learn. And
that's a good problem.
Yeah, very good problem, honestly. It's not a bad one to have. It's posters and stuff like that, marketing. This one kind of sold itself because everyone coming out of COVID is just itching to do something, you know, and it's summer. So
for sure.
It worked out good. It worked out really good, honestly.
That's a lot of work to put together something like that.
Yeah, but it's good work. It honestly, like, it feels better than doing like actual like 9-to-5 work. Honestly, I'd rather stress about stuff and like stuff like that, because that one, and like the thing with like planning a show, nothing is ever gonna go right. Like this last show, so many things went wrong, but like it's so like it worked out. It looked okay. Nobody could tell anything because you kind of keep the problems in the background. But a lot of stuff
didn't
go right. Yeah. But yeah, it's okay. I'm not too worried about it. I'm just hoping Halifax comes out, shows out in good fashion.
Oh yeah, I think so. And then, so we kind of talked briefly before about how like your first performance, your first live performance ever at RIT was just like super nerve wracking. You were nervous the whole time. Now, what is it like to perform live for you?
I don't know how to explain it, but like, when I perform and stuff like that, I don't like drink or anything like that before, but I get on stage, I black out on stage pretty much, just sober, just like I can't remember a thing until I watch the videos back from everyone else, and then I get off the stage, like I can remember everything after that, but after being on stage, there's nothing. Like, I can't recall much from being on stage. And, like, now even the show, like, I was absolutely sober. I didn't, like, every show, I'm absolutely sober. And then nothing. I just can't. I have to watch the videos back to be like, oh, yeah, that actually happened. And, like, yeah, it's kind of surreal. I'm definitely still nervous.
Do you think it's, like, the excitement or, like, yeah, the nerves or, like...
I don't know.
Why does that happen?
Like, I don't think it's ever happened to me before, but, like, it's just... Like, it's not something that happens to me with, like, other stuff, but just when I perform, like, when I go live and stuff like that, it's just in and out. I think it's just excitement. Honestly, let's call it excitement. Let's call it excitement, nothing else, but...
Probably, like, maybe you're just, like, so excited and you're so passionate to be, like, just to be out there performing again live.
Yeah.
I could see how it just, like, honestly flies right by.
Yeah. I think I'm just happy at the point, at the, like, where I'm at. Like, it took a lot for me to even get to this point where I can perform at a show. Where I have people who I don't know come up to me, be like, yeah, this is your music. I know you, blah, blah, come up and like,
yeah.
Like, it was so different because I think it was at the end of the show when I watched the videos back, I didn't sing a single lyric. Everyone kind of just took it on themselves. And I was like, yeah, okay, this is amazing. Like, we're really doing something. That's all I can ask for, honestly.
Isn't it weird, like, that people are recognizing you that you don't know? Like, what is that like?
Yeah, I don't know. See, the thing is, I'm a 6'7 guy, so I stand out immediately every time I walk in the room.
Yeah.
So now, like, people are kind of putting a face to music. It's kind of interesting for sure. But at the same time, like, it's kind of nice. Like, I'm just happy that it's even reaching people that I don't know. And, like, as of late, like, so many bars have just been, like, playing it. Like, in Calgary, it's been weird. But I just feel like we're finally making waves and, like, making steps towards, like, something big. So I don't mind too much.
Does your music now make enough, like, does it bring in any income for you right now?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's finally paying for itself, which is good.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, like, the biggest way, like, for music, like, every artist, like, the biggest way to make money is shows. That show probably paid off, like, our cost, like, times two for the year. Like, we've covered every, like, anything.
Nice.
Anything that we've worked on, like, everything does that. And, like, another one in Halifax just increases our budget for the, like, for the rest of the year. If we do Toronto, like, so shows are huge. I don't know why. Cause like you don't have too many expenses. Like, all you have to do is, like, kind of rent lights, get, like, mics and stuff like that. And I've always had, like, a good relationship with, like, the people who run, like, these bars, like Junction. I have a good relationship with the guy. So it's not too much overhead to, like, get that set up. Same thing with, like, the Dome. We're going to do the Dome in Halifax and, like, yeah, we have good relationships with a lot of the people there. So
yeah,
it's easier to do the shows and you make a lot more money, which is perfect.
So at what point will you, like, fully commit to music? Is there, like, a goal for you where you're like, okay, now I could leave my 9-to-5 and just do this full time?
I guess, like, everyone says they'll, like, there's one way for sure I would quit my job is, like, you get a deal. You get a publishing deal, 360 deal, whatever it is. But at the same point, like, I think I want to be independent. I like the work. Like, the work is, I don't want everything to just be done for me. I like the work. I want to, like, have a hand in everything that goes on with the project, and, like, music that we put out.
Yeah.
I guess, like, we could say, like, maybe once I hit 1 million streams, let's call it that or something like that. Or, like, I guess, yeah. We'll say this. Like, if I can do a show in 7 cities in Canada, like the major cities, Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, Montreal, Halifax, and stuff like that. If I can do a show in all of those and they can sell out, then I know I can quit. You know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I feel like I should kind of stick. Like, I don't mind my job at all. Like, computer science is what I went to school for. It's tedious.
Right.
It hurts sometimes, but it's worth it too. And I definitely want to be able to, like, apply that to my music too. Like, I want to be able to make my own website when it comes to stuff like that. Like, I've already started doing that and, like, make my own website, code, like, projects, help do the merch and stuff like that. And yeah, so I'm learning enough to apply it to my career. So
yeah, you want to be able to, well, you want to be able to have a hand in all that, wear all those hats and not just have to rely on anybody else to do that stuff for you. Then you can really make it how you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the dream right there. I want to be the manager, the artist, the merch guy, ticket guy, all this.
The producer.
Like, yeah, hopefully one day I gotta learn that.
And I know you have a couple of music videos and you do, like, big shoots and stuff. You reach out to everyone. Like, it's kind of, like, open. How did, like, Do you create all the music videos yourself? How does the storyline come together? Like, what, how does that work?
It's a AC Milan video. That was a mess. Like, we kind of just like, see, when I thought about music videos, like coming up and stuff like that, there was only one way it looked. There was nice cars. There was pretty girls. There's not too many crazy concepts when it came to music videos back in the day and stuff like that. It's very simple. So like when I started off, that was my approach also. Like, just get some nice cars, get my friends out, and like that's it. Like, it's that simple. And like we just kind of chose like locations that people wouldn't expect to see in Calgary or like may have not seen.
Right.
The Suffer video is definitely a little different. Like, we actually planned this one out a little bit and kind of like according to the song, like someone who's like just trying to make a better life for themselves and stuff like that. No more suffering in their life and stuff like that. So we went to Harley Davidson. There's a Harley Davidson store in, I think it's, what's it called? East Village. Yeah, East Village is where that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. We went down there and we said we wanted to book it for the day. And the guy was like, I know who you are. Like, I already listened to your music. Yeah, and then he tells us we can use it for free. And I was like, okay, bet. Like, let's do that. So we went to the Harley Davidson diner, which was there, and they let us use it for free for like a whole day. And we shot everything there and then had like a different place to shoot the rest of the shoot. And yeah, that's how Suffer came to be. But now it's a little more organized. We're doing the mood boards. We're doing all the everything that we want to kind of see.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. And then do you edit the videos too? Like who does that all hard?
The two big videos. AC Milan was done by David O'Kay and his team. That's 4West Media. And someone who'd like, Braden did Let Me Go, Jan 28th, and Safa. And Braden's like who I've been working with lately. He's amazing. Like his photos are crazy. And he just started putting out videos together. And he's also a singer himself. So he's kind of got a good directive when it comes to stuff like music, how things should look, visuals and stuff like that. So we kind of just work off each other. We kind of just shoot a whole bunch of stuff and hope it works out, honestly. It's hit and miss every time. Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to do it, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. Because you never know what's going to be good and stuff like that. So right now we're just trying to get abstract. There's a lot of abstract music videos out there. And like, I feel like that's going to be one of the key things that kind of puts me on a different level compared to like other musicians and stuff like that.
Just wondering, like a dream collaborator that you would want to work with, someone like that you'd be like, okay, well now that you've made it, you've collaborated with this person. Who's that? You
I think Brent Fayez, like that's the guy that I've been listening to a lot. He's an R&B guy out of LA. Him or like Bryson Tiller or something like that. I feel like I sound the best when I make songs with like people who sing and stuff like that, and like the R&B vibe. That's always, it's one of the few, it's like one of the my favorite genres for sure, like R&B. So I would definitely want to work with like someone like that. Or if we're talking Afro side, I'll probably work with Wizkid, Burna Boy, or David Doe. So, like, yeah, it kind of depends on what market I'm going for. But if I ever do a feature with one of them, yeah, I'm quitting my job for sure. Yeah.
But I guess, like, what is your least favorite thing about being in music, if you do have one? Like, what's the hardest part for you?
Making music and, like, not knowing, but sometimes I just make a song and like I know it's absolutely terrible and like I feel like I'm in a slump or something like that. And like it's just I think like the biggest thing that sucked for me is trying to get the confidence back to like keep going, keep making songs if they don't hit, you know. And like my friends, like we're all in a group chat and stuff like that, and every time there's like a little demo ready, I send it to them. Everyone gets feedback and we kind of move from there and stuff like that. But yeah, I guess one of the big things is just not knowing what's going to happen. You could put out music, but you never know what's going to happen, who's going to receive it, if it's going to go well, you know? Yeah, just that. I'm not a fan of the limbo. I kind of like to know what's going on, but.
And then what is someone who you really look up to when it comes to making music? Or like a mentor, like leadership-wise, it doesn't have to be someone music either, I guess.
That I look up to? Wow, I think, like, if you're talking, like, celebrity-wise, probably Kanye West himself, like, he's just, he's someone who, like, redefines music and isn't afraid to do certain things. Like, that's where that's where I kind of want to be. Like, I want to be at the point where I'm just like fearless with music, where I can literally throw my, like, I could throw my voice and sound like Michael Jackson one day and like come back and sound like something else the other day. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of the big things. Like, experimentation is huge in music. And there's like, there's a big like chance that you might fail with experimentation like that and stuff like in music. But that's where I want to be, at the point where I can just like change sounds, be whoever I want, whenever I want. You know, if I want to do Afro beats for a year, I'll do Afro beats for a year and everyone still love it. That's the kind of point I'm trying to make with like Kanye
being right.
Wow.
Afro beats for a year. Where would you say your, like, your genre is right now?
I have no idea, honestly. I'd love to say it's hip hop, but I don't even, like, I don't know. I listen to more Afro beats than I listen to hip hop now. But at the same time, like, I've always felt the most comfortable with hip hop music. You know, like, I didn't get to live in Nigeria all my life. I lived there for like 10 years, 12 years, and I didn't get to experience like everything that all my friends there experience, you know. So I don't have the slangs like I used to and stuff like that. And that's kind of like one of the big drawbacks about like making Afro beats and stuff like that. So I think if I'm a genre, I'm going to say world music. Not R&B, not hip hop.
Nice.
Not Afro beats, just world. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
If that's a genre, yeah. Yeah, we're trying to go international for sure. Yeah, I don't know.
I love that. That's amazing. Yeah. And it's cool, like, so when you went to boarding school back home, do you, like, reach out to those kids too still? And, like, do they support you in your music as well?
Yeah, like, yeah, there was, like, this group of people that, like, it's called White Noise. Like, they're, like, a collective of Nigerian stuff like that. And these guys, like, I kind of met them, like, I go back to Nigeria, like, every 2 years or something like that for summer. Stay there for, like, 4 months or 2 months or whatever. And kind of post up there. And there's, like, a group of kids that I met. Like, even the friends that I went to school with, we're all kind of, like, tangled up together. And, yeah, making music with them was probably, like, what finally got me to, like, accept music and, like, just, like, just keep going at it. So everyone's pretty supportive there. I don't have the biggest fan base out there because it's been so long. But, yeah, I plan to, like, go back there for sure and, like, rebuild myself, like, even if it's for a year, just kind of just enjoy like where I grew up and stuff like that. Yeah.
And then you mentioned that you wanted to maybe move out to Toronto. Is that for like for music, or like would you look at moving somewhere else for music too?
Yeah. Well, three major spots. Yeah. Toronto, Van, like a couple of my friends are out there and they're doing great things with music, honestly, and they're getting huge. And there's also like LA, of course. And then New York. So, like, those four spots would just be, like, if I was going to go there for music, I would do that. But I kind of just want to live in a big city. It's about time. As much as I love as much as I love waking up to breakfast and coffee from moms, it's time for me to start making my own, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess a couple last questions, maybe just one or two. What is some advice you have for someone looking to get into music?
I guess my advice would be nothing's perfect. As much as I'm like, I'm a control freak when it comes to music. Like, if it doesn't sound perfect, I will go back to the studio probably 10, 15 times until it sounds like amazing. And that's like one of the things that holds me back. So it's never going to be perfect, and like you're going to keep working on music and stuff like that, but just release it, honestly. Don't be like me. Don't sit on 500 songs. Put music out there.
Yeah.
Like, just take the risk. Just take the risk, honestly. And that's one of the big things. And the biggest thing is like you have to be confident in what you put out. Like, it may not be perfect, but you have to believe in yourself to the point where it's like you can never fail, you know. You're your biggest supporter, and that's one of the few things I had to pick up lately, that even if some people don't like my songs, I know it's fire and I want to always come back and listen to it at some point. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's super important to like believe in what you're doing.
Yeah. Because
then it's easier to get people to believe in you.
Yeah. And have fun. Please, God, have fun. Because, yeah, music is all about having fun. That's what it's supposed to be. So do that.
Yeah. Brings people together too.
Exactly.
Like, I know everyone gets so excited when new music from you comes out, and it's just so, yeah, that's so awesome.
Yeah. Oof. Things have changed totally.
I know, hey? Kind of crazy. Well, it's awesome that you still have, like, that community of people who have followed you, like, from high school, from university, all these places, and, like, will continue to support you.
Yeah.
When you get big, don't forget about us.
No, I'm coming to the Saddle Dome straight. That's going to be the first big concert. Shut down the Saddle Dome.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
There will be a special section for the Western Canada High School alumni. Just, like, wait. They get the front, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
I can't wait. I'm so excited for you. Where can people find your music? Where can people find you? Instagram? I don't know if you're on LinkedIn, all that jazz.
Dozy, D-O-Z-I-E. You can probably see it in the title of this podcast right here. And you can find me on Instagram by DozyMusic_. And I'm out on every streaming platform possible, I think. You just search up my name. Give some songs a listen. Say the best thing is to just push up his name. Oh yeah, like, baby, no, they waste time, yeah, because you don't get the same time. You can give me on a FaceTime. I'm getting money for my whole family. My G's. Small boy from way back. Can't get a rap on the way, man. We get money, never change that. I live my life today. I'm what, thank God. Nobody go see me suffer. Nobody go see me fall. As I live my life today. I'm a thank God. Nobody go see me suffer. Nobody go see me fall. Yeah, look, see, I was wrapped in the music like A-Rags. 2021, I'm the one that can say rap. Trying to knock us down, but the way that we came back. Not just to the world, every man, yeah, we play that. Black silhouette, black skin tone, I check my contour. Super ego fly, I fly like Condor. Kind of one core, the way that the boys score. Danger or culture, yeah, and I want more. You see my journey, I need to thank God. Been around the world, I filled my passport. Used to rent a house, now be the landlord. Now be the landlord. You see my journey, I need to thank God. Been around the world, I filled my passport. Used to rent a house, now be the landlord. Now be the landlord. As I live my life today, I'm what, thank God. Nobody go see me suffer. Nobody go see me fall. As I live my life today, I'm what, thank God. Nobody go see me suffer. Nobody go see me fall. They try stop my ambition, but Papa no send a me. They try kill my ambition, but Papa no send a me. Na me.